Today is our last message. Hit it, John. We've been each week talking about the sins of our generation. And today, we're going to talk about the sin of convenience. Now, y'all know me and notes. I'm usually not very attached to notes. In fact, sometimes what ends up out here doesn't look very much like whatever my notes were. Today, I'm going to be a little more attached to my notes because I have some things that I want to make sure that I get it right. We live in an age of convenience. Never before in the history of the world has a people experienced so much physical and financial blessing as this country. Not even the opulence of the pharaohs of Egypt could top what we experience in this country every single day. It's not enough that we have all the stuff, but we also demand something else. We demand that it be convenient, always. Let's take a look at what has come to us just in the recent past. Let's take a little trip down memory lane. We now have water inside the houses. Some of you that are seated here today have actually lived in a place that did not have water inside the house. And the water closet, as our Brits friends would call it, is also inside the house. A stove has come to be available at the flick of a switch. We need not go outside to take care of our scratchy business. Thanks to Mr. Whipple. Just think about it. Those of you who have traveled abroad, how important is toilet paper? Now, I know I risk offending a few of you with that statement, but if I offended you, you haven't been outside this country. There is any style of music that you could think of available on something that could be as small as my thumbnail. Or an iPod that you can look at a movie on and have all these right there and look at a movie on it. Carry it with you. Talk about convenience. A computer gives us access to the whole world. Literally, the whole world at our fingertips. We get information, we buy, we sell. We are entertained globally by what's going on through that computer. But there's one device that kind of sums up our affair with this mistress we call convenience. Now, I'm going to use some visual aids. Years ago, my dad was on the cutting edge of technology. And he had a remote control for his TV. Long before anybody else had a remote control for his TV. And here it is. Those of you who haven't got your glasses on, that's a pair of pliers. Because we had worn out the knob on our TV. And the remote control that I hold before you is not just the pair of pliers, but is the person holding them. Turn that channel, and you needed a seat near the TV. Am I lying? Okay, I just want to make sure my dad's here. You can verify that story. But what do we have now? Try to pry this from the hand of the average man. Just try. And does a man want to watch to see what's on television? No. No. A man wants to see what else is on television. Can I get a witness on that? All right. This little device probably is the symbol. If Jesus tarries for 500 years, I don't think he is. But if he tarries for 500 years, this will be the device that defines the latter part of the 20th century and the first part of the 21st century. Even more so than anything else, because people use this all the time. Our culture is starstruck by convenience. It's a major player in every decision that we make. It's a powerful force to be reckoned with. But it's not the sole property of this age or this culture. It has deep roots in the history of mankind. In fact, it's at the heart of the story that I'm going to share with you today from the book of Acts. In the 24th chapter, you can turn there and read with me. But let me just set it up before I read you the passage from Acts. Paul has managed to land himself in prison again. How many times did he go to prison? I don't know. We know about the ones recorded in Scripture, but he was in jail more than that. His faith in Jesus had put him at odds again, both with the Jews in Jerusalem and with Roman authorities that were in power. They have made a vow that he will be dead. They want him dead. I'm talking about the Jews. Paul eventually appeals to his Roman citizenship, in which we believe he will eventually end up in Rome. He was a Roman citizen, and when he appealed to his Roman citizenship, that got him a ticket out of jail, at least temporarily. But in the meantime, he is under the protection of the Roman governors, and Felix is the first one. The chief priest, Ananias, has brought in a Philadelphia attorney. Well, he wasn't from Philadelphia, but he fit that classification. His name was Tertullus. He had brought him there to Caesarea in order to accuse Paul. Felix hears the case against Paul and then lets Paul answer the charges. And this is the point at which the reading begins. Reading from the New Living, it says, Felix, who is quite familiar with the way, by the way, the way, long before we were called Christians, we were called people of the way, meaning the way of life. He adjourned the hearing and he said, wait until Lysias, the garrison commander, arrives, and then I will decide the case. He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. A few days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, and sending for Paul, they listened as he told them about the faith in Christ Jesus. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified. Go away for now, he replied. When it's more convenient, I'll call for you again. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him. So he sent for him quite often, and he talked to him. 2 years went by in this way,
And Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish leaders.
He left Paul in prison. We could talk a lot more about that story, but that's enough for today. Let's see what the story is about and what it means for us in relation to the subject of convenience. The first point of our message today. You've heard it many times. Familiarity breeds contempt. Felix was well versed in religions of the world. In fact, he wanted Paul to be there to entertain him. Rome's rule was simple. Keep the peace and keep it at any cost. The armies of the empire were spread too far thin. Uprisings they could not afford. So Felix had become quite cruel in his dealing with the messiahs of his day. He executed many of these messiahs in the process of executing his office. In the process of all of this, he became quite familiar with the people called the people of the way. Just imagine what he had seen and heard from this radical new sect that we would call today Christians. We've recounted many of the works of God as we've studied Acts many times, the book of Acts and the Bible. Felix knew firsthand about all this stuff. In fact, Felix had probably observed the miraculous happen on numerous occasions. He had met some of the people. We read about these people in the book of Acts. We think that Felix is just this Roman governor set over here and he doesn't know anything. He knew these people personally. He had been there. He had experienced it. He adjourns the hearing, which frustrates Ananias, the chief priest, and his attack dog, Tertullus. His reason for doing so are not founded in believing either side of the argument. In fact, he probably knew most of what he already knew most of what he heard at the hearing. He does, however, seem to want to take care of Paul and preserve Paul's life. But this could be explained by a couple of things. He wanted to continue to aggravate Ananias and the Jews. They couldn't do that if Paul was dead. Nor could he get a bribe from Paul if he were dead. But in addition to that, he had a curiosity that is shown throughout the story about this thing called Christianity. Here's the bottom line. Here's a man, Felix, we're talking about, who has contempt for all the people involved in the story. Can you feel it in the story? He has contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. And he finds all of them contemptible. He just wants to use them for entertainment, as he does. He's become very familiar with both Christians and Jews. Familiarity does not seem to be his ally in this story. You know, many of us are familiar with a Christian story, aren't we? It's not more information that most of us need about Christianity. We need to start doing something with the information that we already possess. Maybe the story of Jesus has become a little too comfortable and a little too accommodating in our culture. Secondly, God is not interested in our entertainment, is He? As we said before, Felix had set this thing up well for his and his wife Drusilla's entertainment. In a few days, Felix calls for Paul, but God has another plan. Felix saw himself as the greater entertaining the lesser in the story. Felix entertaining Paul. And Felix being entertained by Paul.
This would be good sport. But again, I say God had another plan. God was not interested in a testimony about him being entertained for the governor's court.
But this is a mistake that we still make, isn't it? About entertainment. God isn't interested in our entertainment.
The modern church has a lot more in common with Felix than any of us here would care to admit, don't we? We've reduced church to entertainment or something that will meet our needs, whatever they are. It's very revealing that we're generally attracted to the best show in town. And that changes quite often, doesn't it? I'm speaking autobiographically here about myself. But is God attracted to the best show? We have at times labored to be the best before men without the thought of our nakedness before God Himself. Number three. Is it speaking to you yet, the story? As I step out of it for just a moment. Is it? My toes are black and blue. Number three, it's not about you. For Felix, every decision was all about him. The woman he had as a wife was testimony enough to this fact. Drusilla was the wife of another. But Felix was smitten with her. He had to have her. So he stole her for himself. Somehow this whole thing with Paul had begun to revolve around Felix. It was all about him. He was soon to be confronted with the truth that it was not all about him. This is at the core of the convenience culture in which we live today. We believe it is about us. We have enough money and time to fool ourselves long enough with this fallacy. But the disturbing part of this is when the church buys into the same lie, God does not bless anything that we do because someone else is on the throne that was designed only for Him. Number four, God makes His case very well. Paul spoke of righteousness, of self-control, and judgment that day. These things got to the very soul of Felix. The man was living a licentious lie. He was living with a woman that he'd stolen from another man. He lacked control in public, as his cruelty attested, and in private, as is attested by his marriage to Drusilla. The fact of God's judgment was brought home to him in style by this apostle Paul. Felix just thought that he was in control. It was God who was working out the details at every juncture. The entertainment that Felix planned became the instrument by which God brought conviction to his soul. Remember what he said? Hear it again. And as Paul reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified. And he said, "Go away for now. When it's a more convenient time, I'll call for you." Felix just thought he was in control. You know, God makes His case very well with us too, doesn't He? It's plain to see that God is at work in our lives, revealing Himself. And that's all that really needs to happen, isn't it? That He just unveil Himself. When we're in the park next Saturday, you know what's going to happen?
God's just going to unveil himself. And when we recognize his unveiling himself, you know what we call that? Worship. Worship.
God's using the very things that we thought we were in control of as a way to get our attention. Job, money, health, time, relationships. Number five. Convenience will destroy you. Felix came right up to the edge. He saw the truth, didn't he? We read the story. He saw the truth. He understood. But it was not a convenient time for him, because it meant he would have to change his life. He saw things that he was not in control of, and it scared him to death. The truth became a very fearful reality. Here stood before him the greatest missionary voice that had ever been. And he's giving to Felix a private lesson in Christianity. And what does Felix do? He lets convenience rule the day. And convenience destroyed him. He would ultimately lose his position as governor that he loved very much. And he would pass into history unnoticed, except for a footnote where he is connected to Paul. Isn't that interesting? My question to us, not just to you, to me. How is convenience ruining your life? You know, it's just like letting a couple of rats get into your attic. What happens if you don't get rid of them? Before long, you're overrun by rats. Because they never stop multiplying. Convenience is just like a cancer. It will destroy us. Convenience is destroying the very fabric of this country right now. And it didn't start yesterday or a year ago or 5 years ago. It's been happening my whole lifetime. One thing after the other. But convenience will also destroy your relationship with God. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your relationships. And ultimately, it'll destroy a country. Have we learned nothing from history? Finally, you can be close and still miss the whole thing, can't you? Felix was so close. He knew the story. He was acquainted with all the facts about Christianity. In fact, he knew all about Christianity. He just missed Jesus. Imagine this. All of his knowledge did him no good. Here was a man who was one of the most powerful men in the world at that time. Wielded great power. And he missed it. For 2 years, while Paul sat in jail, he played around with the gospel. Let me step outside. How long have we been playing around with the gospel? He was so close, but he still missed it.
How close are you? Are you still missing it?
Only two people can look into your heart and say what's real and what's not.
You know who they are?
You and Jesus.
Nobody else can look into the depths of your heart. And Jesus already knows what the truth is. Do you? Are you going to agree or disagree with what you've heard today?
There's not a single one of us here today that's exempt from this message.
In fact, we fit into two categories.
Number one,
those of us who've missed Jesus completely because of convenience. Missed having any relationship with Him. And the Scripture's clear, as a person who's not received Jesus into his life is headed where? To an eternal, everlasting hell, separated from God. That's what Jesus taught. I know that's not pretty, but that's the facts.
The other category is those of us who are missing the blessing of Jesus because of convenience. We got our fire insurance, but is it making a difference in our lives? Are we missing the blessing every day?
See, here's a question a lot of us in the church ask. What's the minimum that I can do and still get full credit? Yeah, I know that. I don't have to look at you. All I have to do is look at me. Is that the truth or not? What's the minimum I can do?
Are we ready to lose our fare with convenience?
You know, I believe God's called us to this city. A lot of churches are retreating to the burbs. We've been moving more and more into the heart of the city. That's the history of our church. Kind of funny in a lot of ways. Doesn't quite fit the MO of how you do church in America. But maybe that's not God's will. I've got tongue in cheek here. I hope you get it. God's put us in this city. Look at how He's provided for us, for you, for me. Even in this meeting place that we have. This isn't a church. This is a place where we meet. We needed a place. He dropped in our lap. Here it is. He's given us each other. Week in and week out. Most of us are looking for the big cataclysmic event that comes in and it changes everything for us. And I rather think that God works more often through the daily step-by-step things, the needs. You say, well, what can I do about convenience? Well, just start being obedient to God today. Do what He says. Now, let me tell you, just the needs that we have here. We should never lack for people to work in our children's ministry. Never. There should be a line there. We should have more life groups and more people willing to get in line with that. Someone came to me and said, well, we need a Bible study. I said, start one. Do it. Get you a group, our go three groups, our groups of three. Get one. Get together and do it. Start taking responsibility for what God has done in your life and being the person He's called you to be. It's time for us not to be spoon-fed, but to get on the meat, to be what God's called us to be. All the people in our lives right now who need Jesus now. Their lives are disintegrating right before their eyes. And they need the person who we say is Lord of our lives. Are we willing to step out of convenience and do it? You know, when Jesus watched the Pharisees who were giving gifts and for the acclaim of men, what did He say about that? He said, they have their reward. A gift that doesn't cost you anything isn't a gift. Does it cost? What does it cost you to break you out, to be the person God's called you to be? To break you out in this love affair with Jesus that our world needs. I know it's not a convenient time for this message, but it is the message that God's put on my heart to deliver to you and to me today. Because if you needed this message a lot, I needed it 10 times more. I'm not preaching to you. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. As I said before, I've said it many times, any of what I've said today, any part of it, is not Holy Spirit Velcro. It doesn't stick. Let it fall. Find the problem with it. Find the problem. You don't have to be obedient. But if you don't find the problem with it, it's a message for today, not tomorrow. What's God saying to you today? Let's bow our heads. We open the altar. If you'd like to come today, spend some time at the altar, this is your time. What's God spoken to you? Lord, I thank You for speaking through Your Word to me. Lord, I may be the only one in this building today that need to hear this message, but I sure need to hear it. We open, Lord, now the altar. Speak to us clearly and plainly now. Let's respond to You in faith.